Türkiye'nin liderleri Koray Bilici'yi anlatıyor.
Herkese merhaba, hoş geldiniz. Türkiye'nin liderleri Koray Bilici anlatıyor sohbetleri serisi. Amazon Türkiye Ülke Müdürü sevgili Richard Merritt ile devam ediyor. Sohbetimizi İngilizce olarak devam edeceğiz. Hi Richard, how are you?
Very well, hi, great to be here.
Richard, would you introduce yourself and tell us more about your professional background in Amazon? And what are your responsibilities as a country manager of Amazon Türkiye?
Well, hi everybody, I'm Richard Merritt. I'm the country manager of Amazon Turkey. I live here in Turkey with my wife and three teenage sons. And very specifically, my path into Amazon was quite interesting. I was a mid-career hire. I joined 7 years ago after about 20 years experience post-university in 6 or 7 different companies and across industries, but always focusing on the consumer, the customer. And so when Amazon called and we started to date through interviews, you know, that kind of dating process companies do, we discovered that they were passionate about the customer and I was passionate about the customer, and that was a good enough fit. So I joined Amazon UK 7 years ago. And the interesting thing about that is that Amazon is such a different company to work for. It has its own language. Okay, many companies are like that. It has its own culture. Has its own way of working. It's very, very self-service. There are no teams of data analysts and so on. You have to learn how to do everything yourself. And it's very algorithm driven. So when I joined, my boss said to me, Richard, we are so excited you've joined. Great you're here. Please do not make a decision for the first 3 months. I said, what? I've had 20 years of experience. I'm running some business lines. I was running $2 billion worth of business in the UK. And he said, look, your experience is the way other companies make decisions and the way they think. We're quite different, and it's going to take you a little bit of time to learn. So just focus on learning. It's okay. We don't expect you to make any decisions for at least 3 months. We just want you to learn. And so really, I spent my first 3 months, but actually I would say first couple of years, becoming Amazonian, learning a different way of running a business. And perhaps we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And I did that running the retail business, home categories, kitchen categories, office products, musical instruments, bunch of programs and so on. And then after a couple of years, I led the UK seller business. So this is the side of Amazon where maybe many of your listeners are sellers themselves, or they list on Amazon, they sell their product. And I had a team of a couple of hundred really young, energetic people. And we were working with hundreds of thousands of UK sellers running about 60% of the UK business. So that was very exciting. And perhaps you can say that I became Amazonian because after 3.5 years, I got the opportunity to lead Amazon Turkey and to build the team, build the culture and build the business. And so you might say that that was a vote of confidence that I had become Amazonian. I was trusted to be the leader of a country. And so that for me was significant. That was a promotion of a sorts. And what is a country manager in Amazon? Well, in some ways, it's like a CEO of a subsidiary. You've interviewed many great leaders, CEOs of big companies, small. In some ways, it's a CEO of a subsidiary. But in another way, it is a very lonely role where you are end-to-end accountable for everything from every last customer experience through to, obviously, the financials, through to the cleanliness of the office. And Amazon is a global company, so you have support. And your role as the country manager is to kind of be air traffic control for all the bits of Amazon that operate independently and make them work in Turkey for the customer together. And so the country manager title, like the CEO title inside Amazon, is pretty significant. If anyone with that title sends an email, the teams kind of have to respond because I am the representative of millions of Turkish customers inside Amazon. And so therefore, what do I have to do? Well, the first thing is building a team, building a culture, and building the organization. And then the customer experience. So whilst Amazon has a global customer experience, it requires very significant adjustment to the super competitive Turkish market segment and the wonderful expectations that Turkish consumers have. They're very demanding, and we love that. And that means we have to tailor the customer experience to win their preference, to win their choice, which in e-commerce is a daily battle. You know, you are one click away from losing a customer at all times, and it happens. And then, of course, supporting the teams both in the country, globally, to make it happen. And you know, perhaps the number one thing I'm known for in Amazon, you're not on video, but you can see I have a Turkish flag behind me. And that's so that every time I'm on a Zoom call inside Amazon, they know which millions of customers I represent. And the number one thing I'm known for is Turkey's different. And I have spent years now persuading Amazon to tailor team by team their approach in Turkey to better be successful in the country. So that's a little bit about me and a little bit about what the job of being a country manager in a company like Amazon entails.
Yeah, I will tell that. Your Turkish is quite impressive. I just heard a couple of words. So how long have you been living in Turkey, and how was your experience as an expat in Turkey so far, Richard?
3 yıldır İstanbul'da oturdum. I'll stop now, otherwise this will go on beyond the time we have. I and my family live here, and frankly speaking, thank you to your listeners. We love it. You have such a beautiful country, rich in such culture and history and heritage. But, you know, equally, when you live here every day, you don't go and visit historical sites every day. What happens every day? Well, the weather's amazing. Thank you, Turkey. The food is amazing. We're all on diets all of the time because the food is so good. And the people are amazing. You know, we've been here through pandemic. We came September, summer 2019, pandemic hit 6 months later. For everybody, that was challenging. We had our challenges too. And people were helpful in a way that I could not have possibly imagined. And it made me ashamed because I knew I would not have been that helpful back in the UK to a Turkish expat. So the strength of the Turkish culture of hospitality was just incredible. And so, yeah, on behalf of you and your listeners, thank you to your compatriots who have helped this British family settle in Turkey. We absolutely, absolutely love it.
Okay, Richard, can you tell us a little bit more about Amazon's journey in Turkey since its launch? And how was it going so far? And we are also wondering, what were the key milestones of Amazon Turkey within like four past years?
Yeah, well, we're very pleased with how it's going, but it's not been without challenges. And I described earlier how my job is to persuade Amazon to change stuff for Turkey. Turkey offers challenges. So we launched it in September 2018, after maybe 18 months, 2 years of preparatory work. And frankly speaking, we could have done it better. We made some basic mistakes. We put the team in Luxembourg. So we hired a load of Turkish experts and we took them out of Turkey and we put them in Luxembourg. And we did that because we wanted them to learn the Amazon culture. And I've described how important that is. And yes, that helped. But what it really did was it created distance from our customer. So the team were flying into Turkey a couple of times a month. They were not shopping the website. They were shopping the German website. They were not talking to people on their commute, taxi drivers, you know, other school mums, friends, family, and getting feedback on the product. They were not operating it themselves. And so we got a whole bunch of things wrong. I joined May 19. I said, right, we have to relocate the team to Istanbul. We got to get closer to customers. We got to get closer to suppliers. We got to be, you know, shopping our own product every day. And essentially, we relaunched the business September 19 with a team. We were about 50 in Istanbul at that time. And what followed for the next year was we fixed a ton of stuff, just like basic things about having, you know, the right language on the website, links working or not working, legal warnings being too long and unnecessary. Did we have the right products? No, we didn't. Did we have the right capabilities? You know, it took us a while to launch invoices for small businesses, for example. All kinds of stuff that are more important in Turkey, or you've just got to get right. But from a distance, particularly if you're not Turkish, you don't know you've got it wrong. So we spent a year fixing the basics, I would describe it. fixing our relationships with our vendors, saying we're here, we're not going away, we're not flying away, we'll come to see you in your office, we can see you 2 days in a row if you like, you know, doing really, really important stuff. And that culminated in September 2020. We felt good enough about the quality of the product to launch Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is Amazon's membership program. It has hundreds of millions of members worldwide. And it is the very best of Amazon. And we don't launch it until we think the product's good enough. There is a real quality required for Prime. And Prime, for those who don't know, it's free and fast delivery on hundreds of thousands of items. So that's same day delivery in Istanbul, Ankara, Izmir, Bursa, Kocaeli. It's next day delivery to, you know, the majority of Turkey, 2 day delivery everywhere in Turkey, completely free with no minimum order value. It's Prime Video, which is free entertainment, hundreds of movies, Amazon's global originals and the like, plus increasing amounts of Turkish content. And it's Prime Gaming, which is very, very popular in Turkey, where you get a free Twitch subscription a month worth $5, and you get every month free games and so on. So Prime is this uber membership package. And we launched it, and we obviously had targets. And we beat those targets for the full year in 48 hours. And it went unbelievably powerfully. And then you may be aware, Amazon does something called Prime Day. We did it in 2020. We did it in October because of pandemic. And so that was about 6 weeks after we launched. And on Prime Day, you have incredible numbers of deals and you really want to give a great experience and you want to go well and everything is geared up for it. Anyway, we launched at midnight, 2:30 in the morning. The operations director calls me and says, Richard, we got to stop. What do you mean we got to stop? It's 2:30 in the morning. We've only just started. This is going on for 48 hours. He said, Richard, we're the middle of October. If this goes on for 48 hours, there'll be no Black Friday. I will still be shipping parcels till the end of December. This is going crazy. We have way too much demand. We cannot sustain this. You've got to stop it. And so we, you know, tweaked a bunch of things to control demand. But it was a real signal of the strength of customer demand if we get the proposition right for Prime. And it gave everybody, both in Turkey, but also Amazon globally, real confidence. Hey, if we get this right, Turkish customers are interested. There's potential here. And so that was a real signal of positivity. And since then, we've carried on scaling the business. We've launched new categories, expanded selection, launched a whole bunch of new features. We've also, you know, launched our first standalone Amazon fulfillment center in Tuzla, which opened in September. That's an investment of $100 million on its own. And although it opened in September 2022, it was March 21 when we took the decision. And that was after the success of the Prime launch. And that was very much fresh in our minds that this is something that's going to work in the long term in the country. We need to put capital in to support the growth of the business. And so, tons of change, tons of challenge, a lot of excitement. Fortunately, I don't get calls very often at 2:30 in the morning anymore. But we're very pleased with how we've grown. And now coming up to four and a half years in, we are an experienced country on a strong growth curve.
You totally understand the Turkish customers' habits, and you totally get it. And I really appreciate the way you're doing the business. Richard, Amazon is known for its peculiar company culture and its leadership principles, as far as I know. And what does leadership mean for Amazon? In your opinion, what are the most important leadership principles that drive Amazon's success?
Well, we have 16 leadership principles that define our culture, and they're available on our website, and people have written books about them and so on. But we also have four operating principles that are less well publicized, and those are perhaps the key things to come to. We start with customer obsession, my passion and Amazon's passion. And that means that everything we do starts with the customer. So, for example, in meetings, we have an empty chair that represents the customer, and we ask ourselves, what would the customer think of the conversation that we're having? A different example might be, you know, every business will have a weekly business review of some kind where you say, how's it going? What are the performance results? Ours is an hour long on a Tuesday. It's 60 slides of data, but it starts with voice of the customer. it starts with customer services saying this was the most important complaint of customers last week. And we spend a couple of minutes of that hour starting with, okay, what's going on? Who's going to fix it? When do we get the feedback? And then we say voice of the seller. What's the biggest frustration sellers have had? And then voice of operations. And operations come with a photo of pallets piled up. And they say that we've made some kind of terrible error. How are we going to fix it? So we start our most important meeting of the week with the customer, the seller, and operations and our defects that we can fix. And then we go through our customer experience in incredible detail for about 50 minutes. And then only in the last 10 minutes of the meeting do we say, how much did we sell last week? What was our profitability? Most businesses would do it the other way around. But for us, the customer experience comes first. And that's a large part about what customer obsession is about. The second thing I'd say is invention. Amazon is famous for inventing, and some of the things it's invented, like customer reviews, are now world standard and so on. Fast delivery. When I arrived in Turkey, everyone said, Richard, you got to understand, it's all about price. And I would go to the shopping centers and I'd see Indirim signs everywhere. And I'm like, okay, really, it's all about price and deals and so on. But you know what? When you deliver next day, very, very reliably, customers go, wow, I like this. And then you do it a few times, unfortunately, customers start to expect it. And then if you don't do it on time, they get really cross. And so it turns out Turkish customers love fast delivery just like every other customer in the world. And they're starting to really value it. And so it is about inventing stuff like fast delivery. It is. And the key thing is we don't have an invention team in Amazon. Every single employee, including my secretary and myself, are expected to invent. And that might be changes to processes. That might be an improvement on the website. We're constantly running tests on the website. It might be ideas wherever it may be. But there is a culture of change and a culture of invention that is imbued in every single person in the organization. So invention is a key part of what we do. And, it can be small and then it can be big, like customer reviews or Alexa or whatever, but it comes throughout the culture. Thirdly, I'd say long-term thinking. And a great example of this is, we took the decision to launch Turkey in 2016. 2016 was a difficult year for Turkey. We didn't worry about that. We knew that it was an 80-plus million population country. We knew that it was a young, educated country of growing wealth. We knew that the population were, if I may say so, obsessed with their smartphones, and that online and mobile commerce was just going to grow for the next 20 years, not the next 2 years, the next 20 years. And so we took the decision to invest against that 20-year trend. And so we look through the short term. Other examples for you might be, and I know you've interviewed some incredible CEOs. We don't have a planning process in Amazon. Yes, there is a plan. Yes, I have quarterly targets, but they're not really targets. They're milestones. If we miss them, they're just there to measure progress. If we miss them, it doesn't matter. We say, oh, we missed it. We beat it. Here's why. But it's about measuring progress over time. When it comes to the annual plan, it's set by an algorithm. A button is pushed and I'm told what my sales and profitability target is for the next year. And it's a forecast. And forecasts are by definition wrong. What matters is that we are making progress. And so we think long term about how we can make maximum progress every quarter in the business, quarter after quarter after quarter, rather than this idea of sort of annual sprints. And speaking personally, one of the aspects is that there are no bonuses in Amazon. So our pay and reward links to our long-term nature. Everyone gets a basic salary and everyone gets shares. And shares pay out over a number of years, so they are long-term in nature. So everyone is an owner. So when it comes to October, in all previous companies, I would spend a lot of time thinking, okay, what's my bonus scheme? What four numbers do I have to hit to get the largest possible bonus payout? And if your listeners are honest and in the same, I suspect some of them do the same thing. I don't worry about it in Amazon. There's nothing I can do that affects an end-of-year payment. There is no end-of-year payment. What I can do is try and grow the business for the long term because that's going to have the best effect on the long-term share price. And every year we get more shares according to our overall growth in value. And so long-term thinking is absolutely critical to the business. And then last but by no means least, operational excellence. E-commerce is a tough business. customers like you and your listeners are unbelievably demanding in a really exciting way. And so, you know, we run the business with as much automation as possible. We try and run the business with enormous amounts of data. You know, one of my team joined from a local competitor in Turkey and he said, wow, there's 20 times more data here. We break everything down into incredible amounts of granularity and measure in the tiniest details to try and drive the absolute best day in, day out execution. And that's what we need to do to be able to deliver the experience that we're trying to offer. So those four things: customer obsession, got to invent on behalf of the customer. When you're doing those two things, you've got to think long term, because anything of anything real value takes time to create. And then operational execution, you've got to be sharp as you execute, because you've got to deliver this amazing, consistent experience time after time after time. And you put those things together, and that's what we do.
I was in Seattle a few months ago. I had a chance to visit your headquarters, and I'm so impressed with the day one, like the philosophy day one. It's like every day you just feel like day one, and the feedback mechanism, like, how are you feeling today? But you need to be fresh as like day one. So great leadership methods. What would be your recommendations to our young listeners that are early in their professional careers? And what are the growth areas that they would be investing for a successful future?
Well, it's a great question. And lots of people have different views on this. For me and my personal experience, it's all about personal growth. You know, a career is measured over decades. And the thing that will dictate how successful you are, how fast you're successful, how slow you're successful, what the nature of your success is how fast each of your listeners personally develops their personal growth. And so when I think about personal growth, there's a few things. Number one, particularly if you are early in your career, become capable, learn how to do stuff yourself, so you don't rely on other teams, so that you can be useful. Become useful. Learn how to do a bit of coding. Learn how to automate a process. Learn how to deep dive some data. Learn how to get the data yourself. Become capable. Become useful. Start to add value with your own personal skills. Secondly, it's all about maturing. And it's all about self-management. Now, when I became a father, that was one of the both delightful and frankly unbelievably challenging moments and experiences, but it helped me grow up a lot and it helped me mature a lot. And so self-management, self-development, self-care, learning how to regulate yourself, learning how to understand yourself, learning how to grow yourself, and recognizing that you're not perfect. I mean, I'm terribly imperfect and have lots of development areas, but you can grow, you can change, and that's an active process of self-management. So learn hard skills that you can offer to others and learn the skills to manage yourself. And then thirdly, look, I remember when I was young, I'd look at my dad and he ran small businesses in the UK and I'd think, well, that seems terribly easy. You know, it was in the age of fax and memos and, you know, email didn't really, I mean, how hard can it have been? And of course, I was young and arrogant and naive. The reality is that almost everything's been done before. Everything's about relationships. People have been in your situation before. So talk to others. You know, read widely. Learn as much as you can from others. Ask advice. Get a mentor. You know, that uncle who runs a business doing something that you don't know may turn out to know an awful lot about a particular situation that you're in, whatever it might be. So learn as much as possible from others. What are the practices? Read a lot, get a mentor, ask advice, and then have a process of reflection. This is one of the things that I enforce in my team. Every month I send them a request for their reflections with four structured questions. You know, what are your priorities? How are you doing? How are you developing your team? How are you developing yourself? What feedback have you had? How's that going? And then what have you learned in the last month? What's been interesting? And the reason I do it is that, you know, I suspect you have some very self-motivated, talented, energetic listeners who are what I would describe in English as go-getters. They make stuff happen. The problem with people like that is that they never stop to think about anything. They're just always on to the next thing. And so creating this moment to just pause, reflect, in a footballing analogy, put your foot on the ball and just say, okay, how am I doing? And that allows for course correction. That allows to say, oh, I'm not achieving this goal as fast as I like, or this is going really well, I should do more of it, or I should change this. So that reflective process. In really simple terms, the people who learn fastest will be the most successful in whatever it is they want to do. And so the more you put effort in becoming a really capable learning being, the more you'll be able to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve in life.
Richard, very influential conversation. Thank you for joining the program and hope to see you soon.
Super. Thank you so much. Enjoyed it enormously. Görüşmek üzere.
Bye-bye.
Türkiye'nin liderleri Koray Bilici'yi anlattı. Bir sonraki podcast'te görüşmek üzere.